I want to tell you a story this morning that absolutely not true. I made up this morning. You heard that part before. And Kathy, Pastor John and Kathy, decided to take a trip across country. And as they were taking the trip across country, they decided they were going to stop in Chicago and stop in to see my beloved Cubbies at Wrigley Field. And so John, being the very patient and gentle husband and always trusting his wife, said to them as they were pulling up the line to Illinois to Chicago, he handed her the map and said, "I'm going to trust every word you absolutely say. I'm going to follow your way that you tell me to go, and here's the map, and I will listen to everything you say." Well, I don't know if you've ever been to Chicago. It is a maze of back streets. It's like any big city, but they got into the middle of it, and 10 minutes into it, they found they were completely lost. And so John, being very patient and loving, looked over at his wife and said, "Dear, can you help me out here? We seem to be a little lost, and I don't want to take the map from you, but could you please tell me where we are and where we're going?" And so 10 more minutes went by, and they were even more lost. The map seemed to make no sense, and so he looks over at his lovely bride again, and he says, "Dear, I love you more than life itself, but I really need your help today. Could you show me the way I need to go?" And so she gives him a few more directions, and 30 minutes into the trip, they are absolutely lost in a very scary part of Chicago. And finally, John, who loves his wife dearly, gently reached over, as all of your husbands would have done in that moment, took the map, flipped it over, and realized that they had a map of Detroit. Now, that story wasn't true at all, but how many times in our lives do we try to follow maps that give us no direction to where absolutely we are? If you have your Bibles, I'd ask that you turn with me to the book of John, chapter 14, John 14, and it will not be up on the screen. You can pull it out of your program. It is on your outline for today. But John chapter 14, these are the last words of Jesus. Jesus is teaching his disciples before he's betrayed by Judas and taken to the cross. Before he dies, these are the last words that Jesus is sharing with his disciples. And he wants them to know that this is really important. And he says to them, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I have told you, I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." A couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to be sitting across the table from a man who was a Quaker and had grown up in his life as a Quaker. And if you know anybody of them, they are truth seekers. They study the Bible and they find out what God wants for their life and they try to follow to the best of their ability. But this man had been absent from church, from his Quaker meeting group, for about 20 years now, and he hadn't been involved with them at all. And he had been kind of going his own separate way and his own thing. And at one point during the conversation, after we talked about plumbing and after we talked about the train tunnel in Veracruz and we talked about a bunch of different stuff, he said to me, he goes, "Rick, I know you probably want to know my spiritual state because you're a pastor." I've never heard anybody say that to me ever in my life. "I want you to know my spiritual state." Okay, I'm sitting across from him. "Okay, what's your spiritual state?" He says, "I believe that there are many ways to God, and I believe that you can get to heaven many, many different ways." And he was very emphatic about it. "And I believe that I can find God in my own way, in my own time, in my own place." And I was just sitting there quietly, and my head tilted like this. And I went, "You know, I know you grew up Quaker, so how do you deal with the whole Bible verse where Jesus says, 'I am the way, I am the truth. By the way, I didn't say it quite this preachy. I'm preaching right now, so it sounds that way. And I am the life. I am the way, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How do you deal with that? And he goes, oh, I know that's the Bible, and I know Jesus said that, but I believe that you can go any way you want, and I believe that my life's going really, really well. And I said, okay, so tell me how your life is going. And he spent the next half an hour complaining about how bad his life was. And I went to him, and afterwards I did one of these. I went, I'm a little confused here. You told me that you know the way. You got this way. You're fine. Everything's great. But you've complained to me for the past half hour. How do you deal with the situation that Jesus promises you to be the way? He promises to be your truth. He promises to be your life. And you're ignoring that. And he says, well, I just don't know. And I tilted my head like this one more time and went, I do. And we kind of left it at that. Not mad, not angry, but just left it like that. My question today is, do you believe that Jesus truly is the one way to God? If he isn't, then he is a liar. Do you understand that? If he isn't the only way to God, then he is a liar, and he doesn't speak the truth, and the truth is not in him, but the truth is he is the only way. He is our only hope. He is the only map that shows us the ultimate direction that he wants us to go. Here's our problem. We're deaf Dutchmen. We don't listen. In case you missed that, we're deaf Dutchmen. We don't listen. In case you didn't hear that, we're deaf Dutchmen. We don't listen. We listen to everybody else. We listen to the doctors on television. We listen to the any talking head who we can, and we ignore the way that he has shown us. And it's like walking life through Chicago with a Detroit map. We're just going to end up lost. And then we turn around and we go, how in the world did I get here? And we get here because we didn't follow the way. The way which is Jesus. And he speaks to us and he shows us the way. He showed me the way when I was 9 years old and I accepted him as my personal Savior. He showed me the way when I was 13 and I got to lead VBS games at this small little dinky church called Veracruz EC Church. And it was literally the entire church could fit into about a quarter of this building. And I got to lead games for about 60 kids who we got to reach. He led me when I got to go to basketball camp and teach kids not only about how to dribble but how, about the love of God. He led me to Zion EC Church to be youth pastor, to Emmanuel EC Church in Adamstown to be children's pastor, and then eventually pastor. And he led me through all these ways. And you might go, Rick, you're just strange. Look at that path you took. It's so crooked. And here's the deal. All I did was try to listen to what God wanted and follow where he did. And then I ended up in this really cool church called Trinity EC Church to be children's pastor for 8 years. And then I get to hang out with cool people like Andy Lanko and Holly Culp and all of your kids and all of you because I followed the way and I listened. And I listened. See, we get in trouble when we don't listen to the way. We think our GPS is truth, but we miss the real truth. And my question this morning, is Jesus your way? Are you following him because you love him? Are you following him because you fear him? Just follow him because he loves you and he wants you to love him back and do the things he wants you to do. And he wants to share his truth with you. Jesus says, I am the way and I am the truth. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. 2 months ago, I stood before you at annual congregational meeting, and I said to you this. How many of you guys remember this? I said to you this. We were about $28,000 short of reaching our absolute essential needs for Journey 53. 21 of those was my salary. Anybody remember that? $21,000 of that $28,000 was my salary. There was a very good chance 2 months ago, that I was looking at getting a part-time job and doing the ministry of Journey 53 part-time, which I was absolutely happy to do if that's what God wanted me to do. But if you asked me about it, I said these words. And for those people who asked me about this, you've heard me say this. I said in the words of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I said, God doesn't have to fulfill all of those needs, but my God can fulfill all of those needs. Because he spoke truth, and he is the God who can take care of anything I'm anxious about, and he is the God who can provide for me. And I can stand here today and say that my drop-dead date for looking for a job was March 1st. And I want you to hear this story, okay? On February 28th, I was going out my door to talk to one of our families here at Trinity to help buy a computer. Now, I want you to listen to this. The computer we were buying was to make video teaching sessions for our missional community groups. If I had to go get a part-time job, I did not need this computer. Okay, I'm 2 days away from having to go start looking for a job. And in faith, I was walking out my door to go ask these people to provide a computer that I didn't even know if I was going to need yet. But I believed my God was going to provide. And so I was leaving. And as I was walking out the door, a buddy of mine texted me who was at a meeting. And he said to me, he goes, we had a great meeting. And I texted him back and I said, what does that mean? And he texted me back. I wasn't driving, just so you know. And he texted me back, and he said, we had a great meeting. I just need to meet with you and Bruce. And I asked him this simple question. Do I need to go get a job? Because it was February 28th, and on the 1st, I was going to start looking. And he wrote back two letters. N-O. The truth of the matter is, boys and girls, and this is what I've been telling you forever, and the truth of the matter is, adults, is that God will take care of you if you trust him. And not only did he give us $28,000 and it fit our essential needs. You see, what happened was when we realized that we weren't going to make budget, we did what every good church does, and we slashed it to the difference between essentials and necessities. Those are two different things, just so you know. Okay, essentials are toilet paper. Necessity is Kool-Aid. You can always drink water, okay? Two different things. Kool-Aid's cool, it can make you look cool, it can do a lot of cool things, but it's a necessity, it's not a want, it's not a need. And so there we were, and we were waiting on God, and here's the deal. By the end of February 29th, we realized that God had not only raised $28,000, he had raised $30,000. And God is still providing through you today for us to go back and get some of those essentials and needs, those need things that we had, and we can now go step out in faith and go, God has taken care of us. And here's the deal. This word is true. This word is true. This word is true if you listen to it. In the first service, I had them do something with me before we began preaching. I had everybody hold their Bibles up real high, and I said these words. This is my Bible. Say it with me. This is my Bible. God's perfect word. Today when we study it, I will give my attention to learn what God wants, to grow closer to him. That's what it's about. It's about the truth of following him. And here is the truth. When we follow his way in this book, and when we follow the truth in this book, here is what doesn't happen. Watch very closely. This is my object lesson for the day, and it's really impressive, okay? So watch this. Y'all watching? Here it is. You ready? This is what you don't have to do. Did you get it? Let me show you again, just in case, for those Dutchmen who weren't listening like me sometimes. Here we go. You ready? This is the object lesson for the day. This is what happens when you follow his truth, boys and girls. You never have to do this. You never have to look over your shoulder and worry about whether you're getting it right, because when you follow the ways that God wants you to, you are going to get it right. It's not easy. I want to tell you that. He's never promised you it easy. But he's promised you, listen closely, he's promised you the truth. And this is the truth. One of my greatest joys was when I would give the children projects to do. And they would go home and they would open up the Bibles for themselves. And they would read these words for themselves. And they would find what I asked them to find. And Esther Mack, would you come up here? And Megan, come on up here. And Miss Smith, come on up here. These are three little girls. My last project I gave them before I left Kids Worship on my second last Sunday, I asked them to look up all the I Am passages in Scripture. And I asked them to do that because I wanted them to know the truth of God's word, that he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am, what are some of them? You remember any of them? I am the gate, I am the light, I am the shepherd, I am all those things. And all these three little girls took time to go home and write down the truth of the word of God, which is Jesus is everything that we need and nothing else and nothing more. And so I promised them something. And they came back that week and they were like, well, where is it? I'm like, you have to wait for it. You have to wait for it. And there is no greater truth that I can leave with them than I can leave with you than the truth of God's Spirit, because this was given to me, Esther, when I was 13 years old. It's that old. The NIV Study Bible. And so this is given to you so that you can study it for yourself. You can know the truth for yourself. You can know that all by yourself, and those are yours for keeping. When we're all done with today and Pastor Rick's really tired, we're going to sign those for you, because I want you to remember that Pastor Rick gave them to you so that you can know for yourself the true word of God. And you can know for yourself too, because I don't know about you, there's some of these in the pews, and I promise you, Pastor John's not going to get ticked off. If you need one, grab one, take it home, and start reading it for yourself. Let's give a big hand to these girls for helping out. Thank you very much. Here's the truth. If you missed that one. Here's the truth. And here's the deal. If the only person who feeds you all week long is this gentleman sitting down here, Pastor John, you're missing a lot of life. Because if you come and just hear him preach, you know what he is? He is the whipped cream on top of the sundae. He is the chocolate syrup on top of the s'more. I don't know what you're going with here. Whatever vision you can get, he is the thing that takes this word that you've been reading all week long, and he's the guy who opens it up, and then you go, wow, that really spoke to me from what God told me earlier this week. But here's the fact of the matter is, if it's dusty and if it's setting somewhere where you can't reach it, it isn't the truth. It only becomes the truth when we open it, when we read it, and we hear it. And it speaks to us. And then it truly brings life. John 10:10 says, a thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and life to the full. Here is the thing. I don't know about you, but some people think I'm a little strange. Amen. Thank you. Some people think that I don't fit the mold of a normal pastor. Amen. And you know what? I'm perfectly okay with that. You know why? Because when you live life to the fullest, you're not bored. You're not just going through the motions of being a good little boy and doing what God wants you to. You're out on the edge experiencing life, attacking life, following what God wants you to do, and being that Christian who has life to the full. There is nothing worse I see sometimes in Christians who walk out of church with such a long face, it looked like they were just to a memorial service, not a celebration. It is the life. It was the life when I was 9, 13, 18. It was the life when I was called to be a youth pastor, which I wasn't very good at. When I was a children's pastor in Adamstown, and the first time we walked in the door and they hired us to be their children's pastor, and you know what? There wasn't a single child in the church. And that's what faith is. And yet God, on Christmas, 2 years before we came here, allowed us to have 140 kids come to a school, a public school on Wednesday nights, to hear about Jesus. And 30 of them went to a children's retreat and got saved that weekend, that fall. And that's the life. But it only happens if you really, really follow the truth of what God wants. And sometimes he's going to ask you to do things you don't want to do. Sometimes he's going to take you places you don't want to be. I remember one night I was standing in Trinidad, in Port-au-Prince, Trinidad, I think it's Port-au-Prince, and we were in the middle of the ghetto, and I was down there to do teacher training and teach kids in Port-au-Prince, and I was down there, and my buddy, we got a flat tire. It was 11 o'clock at night, pitch dark, cloud covered, nasty, nasty, nasty place. And my buddy says to me, "I'll be right back. I know a tire place." And so he goes off into this all just really nasty neighborhood. And I just stood there and I looked around and I went, "Cool, God, this is going to make a great story someday." And I thought to myself, I would have never been there if I didn't listen to God call me there. And God took care of me there. I had three friends, literally, three drunk friends with me. By the time my buddy came back, he's like, "Who are them?" I'm like, "They're my friends. They just started coming up and started talking to me, so I started talking to them." I was figured if I got three more, I'd have a mini congregation and I'd start preaching. But here's the deal. If you're not choosing to listen, if you go, "Okay, God, I know you want me to do that, but no, I'm okay. I'm not ready for that." You will miss so much in life. If I would have done that, am I right, Miss Karen? If I would have done that, we'd still be back in Adamstown, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but we would have never got to experience the kids here, the people here. We would have never got to experience what God called us to do. And then I would have never got to know you. The sad part is then it might have been better. You might have not got to know me. I'm joking. I'm absolutely joking. I cherish even being able to speak to you right now. Here's the deal. When you become anxious, when life becomes overwhelming, when the world becomes crazy, the only thing that you have to hold on to is the way and the truth and the life. And the only thing physical sometimes that we get to hold on to is this. And it's in the moments like that, where the shadows are overcoming our lives, that when we open the Word of God, it's truth. You know how I know that to be true? Because He's done it in my life. And you know even more how I know that to be true? We have people in Journey 53 who haven't been to church for 30 years or never been to church, and they're reading God's Word, and the big question we ask them is, "That true?" And they're like, "It has to be. It's proving itself out every day I try it." Here's the question. Is this your truth? Is Jesus your way? Are you living life to the full? We're not leaving you, by the way, just so you know that. We're being sent out from you to reach those who may never walk through these doors. And it is the most exciting adventure, one of the most exciting adventures I've ever been on. It's one of the most scary adventures I've ever been on. But you know what? When God calls you to something and He speaks the truth to you, it's your turn to step up and follow Him and live the life. And that means following this. Hear that, boys and girls? That means following this. Hear that, moms and dads? That means following this. Living the life for God. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, I don't stand up here as if I have it all together, because you know, God, that I don't. I don't stand up here as if I always get it right and I always listen, but I know when I do, you know what, God? Life becomes the coolest experience ever. Whether it was at basketball camp, whether it was in the parking lot at Veracruz, whether it was in the pulpit of kids' worship here at Trinity. Living life to the fullest. I pray for the people here, because we're being sent out. I pray for them that they would get into the Word like they've never got into it before, that they would read it for themselves, that they would hear it, that they would listen to it, that they would apply it, and that they would truly find out what your life to the full is. But that they would hear this simple message, that you are the way, that you are the truth and that you are the life. Amen.